Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking this evening on the parables of Christ. Just one second, give me a minute. So, yes, the parables of Christ are essential to any Christians or anybody's thinking. They are the reflections of the thoughts and minds of Jesus, who is the God, I believe, and he claimed to be God. In these parables, he gives his advice and direction on how to live and what to do with your life. Tonight, I'll be talking about the parable of the Last Judgment. I'm going to briefly, I've gone over this ground a bit, but I'm going to briefly say that this show has literary components. We're concerned with great books and important books. We're concerned with Christian belief, and as found in the Holy Scripture and in various elements of Christian authors such as Augustine and Bonhoeffer and Calvin and Luther and T.S. Eliot. And we're also concerned with political elements, which are really not. I am conservative, but I certainly am concerned and have a great love for the poor and poverty, which Jesus directed us to do, and I do it. This is a politically incorrect show. Namely, we're not concerned with media hype, media falsehood, or media lies, or political rhetoric. We are concerned with honest truth and honest discernment and intellectual honesty and critical thinking. We try to arrive at the truth and the facts. That's what we're concerned with in this show, not political rhetoric. Second, this show, I run two Christian radio shows, and they are visited by people on a worldwide basis, particularly from China and from Muslim countries. I welcome everyone, everywhere, to dialogue with them and understand their faith and feelings and thoughts. I see the face of Jesus in every person that I meet, and in every faith that I encounter, whether Islamic, or any kind of Hindu. These people, to me, are valued by Christ. He died for them, and I want to know them, and I want to understand them. I don't reject anybody in the world, to tell you the truth. I have no reason to reject anybody. Jesus died for them. He cast his life on the cross for them. He gives them eternal life in heaven and the joy of heaven. That is the bottom line in my thinking. I am also a writer. I have written 10 books, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and a number of Christian books, including Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables, which analyzes the parables. I've also recently written a book on the Psalms, a 390-page book on the Psalms. The Psalms are the manna. John Donne, the English poet, said they're the manna of the church. They are the way to know God and Christ. The Psalms are my inspiration. I memorized them in Sunday school, the first, second, and 23rd Psalm. I've never forgotten them. I read them in Hebrew in Princeton Theological Seminary. I have an MDiv from Princeton Seminary, and I've formerly been a Lutheran pastor at one point. This is what I value in my life, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture. And so I've written other books. I'm preparing other books. These books will include four books of my blogs, which are the literary, religious, and philosophical blogs, and political blogs. Four books on these blogs. I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. These are four blog books that are coming out. A book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm writing a book on the Book of Job. A wonderful book. A great book. That is so valuable that I can't even describe its importance and significance. In this, we're told he's not Jewish, he's an Edomite. but he is tested by God in terms of his faith and passes the test. I have also written a book on the family law, on paternity and family law and practice, published by West. I've written a book on evidence on res gestae, which is a book on evidence. I've written a book on the legal encyclopedia, New York Jurisprudence, which is a legal encyclopedia. And I've written on criminal law and demands and notices in that legal encyclopedia. I have written three very large law review articles, one on the on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review, which has been bought by the United States Supreme Court. And it has been also bought by the State Department and many universities and schools throughout the world in Africa, Asia, and, of course, North America and South America. I've also written two articles on the educational system and on sex discrimination for Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. And these are important articles, and they have been bought by the State Department and many institutions throughout the world. This is just a tip of the iceberg in terms of my work. I believe in writing. I think writing is important. I think it's the only way we can come to true knowledge is through print. As Mortimer Adler said in his very great book, How to Read a Book, he said, and bear this in mind, he said it, to believe in images, whether television or computers, is to be fooled. It's to be propagandized. It's to be it fools us. It's not true knowledge. True knowledge is gained through more complex forms of print, and I recommend the great books in print to know and understand the truth about life. They include War and Peace by Tolstoy. They include Resurrection by Tolstoy. They included Anna Karenina by Tolstoy. They included Paradise Lost, written by Milton, the greatest English poet, was totally blind. He also wrote Paradise Regained, another great epic poem, while totally blind. And he wrote a book on Samson in the Book of Judges, again, while totally blind and hurt and suffering. I also love E.M. Forster, Passage to India, and other books that he's written. And so these are some of the books I value. I also value Augustine, and of course I value the Epistles of Paul, which are the great religious documents of all time. These are the thinkers. These are the people. C.S. Lewis, Bonhoeffer, G.K. Chesterton. These are the top people. These are the leaders in the world. And as I said, I'm going to go into, at this point, the Last Judgment, the parable of the Last Judgment. It's very fascinating, very interesting. And it goes against the grain of, of something that we want to know about. I want to talk about Jesus as judge. Jesus makes although he is presented as a very nice person and caring person and loving person, he wants people to be and love him and in his love in heaven. He wants this for people. But he also makes a judgment of people. He informs us that he will be the judge. He said to us, "Do not judge that you be not judged, because the Father in heaven will judge you." He makes it clear that we shouldn't judge, but he will judge us. He makes it clear. Also in the centurion servant, he mentions himself as judge. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man ignores the plight of the poor man suffering next to him, right next to him, he says that rich man will suffer in Hades, while the poor man will be in heaven. That is the bottom line. Condemnation, it's a warning. These are warnings, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, about what can be for people. But he does make it clear that we will be judged. And what the judgment will be, I really wouldn't say, but the judgment could be something that would be very difficult to deal with. Now, I want to talk about something, one of the parables called the Parable of the Last Judgment. It's in chapter 26 of my books of the parables, and you will find it. You will find it in Matthew 25:31-46. I summarized this the other night, but I'd like to go through it again. He says the Son of Man, or Jesus, will return, and he will gather all the nations. Now, when he says he's gathering the nations, it may not include Christians and Jews, but it could include unbelieving pagans. And he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep, and he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. And he says to those at the right hand, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he says, he tells us and wants us to understand, for I was hungry and you gave me food. He doesn't mean that he himself was hungry and was not given food, and he was given food. He's not saying that he was thirsty and he was given drink. He was not saying he was a stranger and welcomed him and was welcomed. He doesn't say he was naked and clothed, and that he was sick and visited and was in prison and somebody came to him. And then he's really saying what you do to people in your life, if you behave in this fashion, if you give the hungry food, if you give the thirsty drink, if as a stranger you welcome people, when the person is naked, you clothe them. When they were sick, you visited them, and I was in prison, and you came to me. And that is the real nub of this parable, that it is not that Jesus is being attacked as a person, but he does say what you do to other people in your life, you do to me, and you take the consequences. So he says the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit there? And then Jesus explains that he will say, what you did to the least of these people, you did to me. Or if you don't do it, you do it to me. And then he will say to those on his left hand who didn't pay attention or concern himself with other people or give them the love that he wants them to give, he says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He says, in your failure to feed, give food, give drink, clothing, visiting the sick, and in prison, you did it to him. He's saying that when you don't treat people in this fashion, in this life, there will be a consequence because you are doing these evil acts of indifference to people in the world. So he says, he emphasizes at the end, what you do to the least of these, to one of the least of these, you do it to me. And so the result is, in paying no attention to other people, you are attacking Christ. And he means that you will be condemned. He has a warning here. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but he says you will go away into eternal punishment and the righteous into eternal life. So he's really saying that he is the judge. He will come to judge people, to judge the nations. But judging the nations may not include Christians and Jews, but it could include the pagan nations. And he says there'll be this judgment conducted by him. And he says that this will be a last judgment. And the criterion for the consequence of this judgment, whether going into eternal fire or going into the joy of heaven, is how you treat other people in this life, whether clothing them, whether visiting when they're sick, visiting them in prison, giving them food, giving them drink. When you do not do this, you are attacking at Christ personally. He's saying that what you do to the least of people in this life, you do to me. So, yes, Jesus is a judge. He's a judge. He makes it clear in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus that the rich man, ignoring the suffering of Lazarus beside him, throwing him crumbs, fit for the dogs, he says, he is placed in Hades, this rich man. And the poor man who suffered in this life is placed in eternal glory and love in heaven with the angels. That's the bottom line. Jesus is not a mere very nice person. He is not a person who's going to save everybody irrespective of their conduct in life. He says what you do in your life, there will be a consequences. You will be judged. He says it. He makes it clear you will be judged. I'm not saying that what the judgment will be. You could be forgiven. You could be taken into heaven for whatever reason. I can't say what the judgment will be, but he does say there will be a judgment, and he is the judge and will return for this judgment. He says it many times. Moreover, he says, judge not that you be not judged. He says in that statement that not to, for human beings not to judge, because he, if they judge, he will be God in heaven, and Christ will judge them accordingly. Don't judge, he says, because if you do judge, you will be judged by God in equal measure. I think it's very important, this parable. It makes us clear that Jesus is not a mere fellow who loves people and loves everybody. He does love everybody. He wants everybody to be with him in heaven. Everybody. He wants none to be left out. But ultimately, he's telling us in this parable and in many other passages in the gospel that we will be judged as we treat other people in this life. We have to understand that the measure that we accord our fellow human beings in this life is essential to understanding the judgment, and that we could, he's not saying, it's a warning, I'm not saying it's going to happen, this judgment, but he's saying that it is possible that we could be condemned to eternal damnation. I hope it doesn't happen. I think if we look at ourselves correctly, we will find that Jesus perhaps should judge us, as he says. Perhaps we should be condemned. I know I should be condemned for my failure to be the sort of person he tells me to be. But ultimately, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this, that Jesus is not merely a nice fellow. He's not merely a very nice, kind, good person. He is the ultimate judge of humanity, all humanity, all people. He will make a judgment on their lives and how they've conducted themselves and treated other people, and this judgment will be lasting and essential. You'll find this parable, it's my interpretation of the parable, in chapter 26, the parable of the Last Judgment, in my book, The Parables of Jesus, a personal commentary. I suggest you look at my interpretation of this parable. More important, I really ask you to read everything that Jesus says has to be read and considered carefully and thought about. So this parable is found in Matthew 25, chapter 31 to 46. I suggest you read it, take a look at it, and give it some thought. And I hope that you will, what Jesus says requires great thought, because he is the best mind that has ever lived, because he is the mind of God Almighty, as he speaks to us through the Trinity in heaven and through the angels and saints in heaven. I ask you to look at this parable, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Look at chapter 26 of my books and give some thought to Jesus, not merely as a nice fellow, not merely as the ultimate nice guy, but as what he says here in the Gospels, he is the judge of all humanity. And that judgment will be based on how we live our lives and have treated other people. Have we treated them with love? Have we helped them? If you haven't treated them with love and you haven't helped them, then there could be a serious consequence. He warns about it. It's a warning. But I can't say what could be the result of that warning. I can only say he makes it clear that he is warning us about what could happen to us if we do not behave correctly to our fellow men and women in life. Thanks very much. I hope you've enjoyed this talk.